Professional alpine athletes say competing in Haines for the Freeride World Tour was a powerful experience. And two applications vie for one distillery license in Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Extreme skiers and snowboarders sped down Haines Mountains Monday in the fourth stop of the Freeride World Tour. The International Alpine Sports Tournament made the long trek back to Haines after its Alaska debut last year. It hasn't been totally smooth sailing. Haines poses challenges athletically and logistically.
Hello and welcome to the fourth stop of the Freeride World Tour. My name's Ed Lee. This is Martin Winkler. Are you excited, Marty?
Oh, yes, I am.
On Monday morning, athletes in bright pink and yellow snow gear got ready to tackle a steep mountain face near Little Jarvis Glacier. Videographers circled in helicopters, but fans were left in the dark. The Freeride's live stream, which broadcasts the competition around the world, wasn't working because of a satellite problem. Tom Winter is a spokesman for the tour.
It's painful. It's painful to have this happen, but it's a learning process working in an environment like Haines.
It's called The Last Frontier for good reason.
Despite the live stream troubles, organizers decided to go ahead with the competition.
Okay, well, we've got Camille Armand kicking things off.
Frenchman Armand was followed by American and first-time freeride competitor Jonathan Penfield.
A little bit of hesitation there. Oh, no. Going down.
And that gives you an idea of the gradient now. The tomahawk does not let up.
I crashed at the top of my run, but had a really enjoyable ride the rest of the way down.
Penfield says Alaska presents unique challenges for the riders. It's all backcountry here. There are no ski resorts with lifts to help athletes practice. That requires a helicopter.
Yeah, it's definitely harder. Normally you're able to warm up riding a few days before, but for me, today was the first time I've snowboarded in a week.
Penfield was up against Austrian Flo Orli, who's in his 16th and last year competing.
Going for it again with a grab.
Oh, huge!
Ian sticking it!
I think at a pretty fast top part, and then in the lower third of the face, there's a big rollover, and I took a little bit too much speed, actually, and flew for like 25 meters plus, and I landed it.
Orli took the bronze for his run in Haines. He was happy with that, but disappointed his friends and fans in Europe were left without a live stream. He says the live stream is more than just a play-by-play video. It's helped people understand and take the sport more seriously.
I became a pro 16 years ago in 2000, and by then we were considered as like crazy idiots, extreme people who would throw themselves headfirst off cliffs hoping to survive. And the funny thing is now, 16 years later, I do exactly the same thing, but we're regarded as proper sportsmen. So in the whole society, there was a big change. And the live stream has helped to make this change, you know, very obvious to everyone.
Oh, and he's hyped, yes.
You saw the fists clench up and woo!
An Alaskan guest athlete, also known as a wildcard competitor, took the gold in men's snowboarding. Ryland Bell showed his familiarity with the Haines terrain by racking up a score of 95 out of 100.
Sloughed through there, but holding on.
Rookie Logan Pahota of Canada took the top score in the men's ski category. He was joined by Frenchman Loic Colum-Patton and American Drew Tabke in the top three. As for the female snowboarders, Swiss Anne-Fleur Machter made what commentator Lee said was the most impressive line he's seen in a long time for snowboard women.
And she's going big!
That was really big. Biggest there we've seen from the women,
and
she's
she puts
controlled
it together.
The speed.
That is a winning line so far.
Machter took first place in her category. Her friend, Austrian Eva Volkner, took the gold in women's skiing. Machter told KHNS before the competition that she doesn't strategize her runs. She just goes out and has fun.
Me, I'm just so glad to be here. I just want to make sure I'm having a good time. And at the end of that, my one day of competing, I will remember amazing excitement, speed, joy of riding, and just make sure to make the best out of it in my own memories.
Italian skier Arianna Tricomi created her first Alaska skiing memories this week. The rookie skier put up a fight against the more experienced Volkner. She earned third place
really
in her category.
To make the most of that. Oh, and she's holding on.
Just the way the mountains are, it's different. They're big, they're powerful, and and just be in this place. It's just far away and in the middle of nature, so it's been a powerful competition.
Trecomi says the power and beauty that comes from the remote mountains is enough to make the challenges they present worth it. Apparently, free ride organizers agree with her. Haines Tourism Director Leslie Ross says it's likely that they'll come back next year. The athletes who scored the best here will go on to compete in the finals in Verbier, Switzerland, April 2nd. The Haines Tourism Department is hoping to set up a viewing of the freeride competition this week at the library and a local bar. It's available to stream at freerideworldtour.com. Skagway residents could be sipping locally crafted spirits in the near future. Two entrepreneurs have applied for distillery liquor licenses in Skagway. Their applications are part of a growing craft distillery market in Alaska. But there can only be one distillery in the gateway to the Klondike. That's the sound of a Made in Haines cocktail being stirred at the Port Chilkoot Distillery. It could be joined by another Upper Lynn Canal distillery in the next couple years.
Any objection to this request?
No objection.
Two distillery liquor licenses have come before the Skagway Assembly in the past 6 months. The first, in November, was from Gary Hager for a distillery called Skagway Spirits. The second, which came before the Assembly last week, is from Dan and Christine Turner for a distillery dubbed Alaska Stillman.
There's only one distillery license allowed in Skagway.
Cynthia Franklin is director of the Alaska Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. She says only one distillery is allowed per 3,000 people in Alaskan towns and cities. So why are there two applications for Skagway?
Should he not be able to produce, that we're waiting to step in.
Joel Probst is the project manager for Alaska Stillman. He says the Turners know there's only one distillery allowed in Skagway, but they want to be next in line if Hager's Skagway Spirits license doesn't go through.
The vision is to get 4 to 5 full-time people working, the hopes, and having a year-round operation there with the ability to export a commodity that's both flavorful, if you will, and also appealing to a broader audience.
Hager did not respond to requests for comment by deadline for this report. But according to Franklin, it looks like his Skagway Spirits venture is on track to get final license approval. The Alcohol Control Board is scheduled to make a final decision on Skagway Spirits license at its April 26th meeting.
This really is first come, first serve. Skagway applied for the license. If they meet the requirements, which they have every indication that they will, the board gives that person the license. You know, the board doesn't have the authority to deny the license because there's someone else coming up behind them that says, hey, we have a better idea for a distillery, and Skagway can only have one.
Franklin says back when state regulations around liquor licenses were established, they couldn't have foreseen the sea change in the alcohol market that's happened in the past decade or so.
You've had this rise of craft breweries, craft distilleries, brew pubs. When our rules were written in 1980, we had no manufacturing of alcohol in Alaska. We imported all of our alcohol.
There's currently 5 operating distillery licenses in Alaska, and it looks like it's going to at least double over the next year.
Heather Shade owns Port Chilkoot Distillery and leads the Distillers Guild of Alaska. She says distillery license applications have cropped up across the state, not just in Skagway, but Juneau, Fairbanks, Homer.
I think it's a good trend. The micro distilling industry has the potential to create good local manufacturing jobs and to support partner industries such as Alaska agriculture and tourism. So I see it as a good thing that our state can encourage and tap into.
The question of which business will get Skagway's only distillery license could be answered by the end of April. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.